Darshan by Adinash Abai. Episode 1. Prayer. At the foot of the mountain there was a small grotto with uneven stone walls, on which the shadows from the fire flowed into each other in endless motion. They repeated the dance of the flames, now growing longer, now shorter. People in plain orange robes sat around the fire, listening intently. Their eyes were turned to the Keeper of the Knowledge, reciting a prayer. His closest students had gathered here, and now their lips were slowly moving, pronouncing familiar words after the teacher. They had all heard this prayer many times, and knew it by heart, because the sage started every spiritual conversation with it. The teacher's voice sounded hollow and expressive, bouncing off of the stone vault and the walls of the grotto. The prayer was short, but every word therein vibrated with amazing energy and power. I have surrendered to the power that rules my destiny. I am holding on to nothing, and I have nothing left to protect. I have no thoughts, therefore I will see. I have no fear, therefore I will remember myself. In detachment from the world, having found a soul, I am free. When the sage finished and looked lovingly at his disciples, one of them raised his hand slightly. "Is there something you want to ask, Brother Adam?" the Keeper of the Knowledge asked. "Yes," the man responded vividly, and an unquenchable thirst for knowledge lit up in his eyes. "Great teacher," he said, looking at the sage with awe, "the prayer you recite gives the meaning of life. May I ask you to explain the meaning of each line? Perhaps I don't quite understand them correctly." The teacher looked at the student with warmth. "Every line here conceals the truth," he replied, and after a short pause repeated the first line of the prayer. "I have surrendered to the power that rules my destiny." "What kind of power are you talking about?" another student asked. A slender, youthful man, with short red and yellow hair, and a freckled face. "The first thing we need to realize," the Keeper of the Knowledge began to explain in detail, "is what powers we serve. There are a lot of different powers that influence us and pull us in different directions. They are connected with our self, with our personalities. We must understand that there is also a divine power and try to accept it, surrender to it, so that it begins to guide us. Its influence brings us good." "And the other powers of ourself?" the same guy asked with excitement. "Do they bring us evil?" "They interfere in our lives and try to pull us in their direction," the teacher explained gently. "They are selfishness, negative emotions, bad thoughts, laziness, and the power of public opinion. They want to distance us from the divine power, so that we cannot completely surrender to it. Therefore, we need to look at exactly what powers are influencing us, and to where they are pulling us." At that moment, one of the students, a middle-aged woman with bright blue eyes, who was sitting in a circle, almost opposite the Keeper of the Knowledge, raised her hand. "Teacher, can I tell you a story that illustrates one of these powers? I want to make sure that I understand your words correctly." The sage nodded approvingly, and all those present turned their eyes to the woman. "Thank you." She smiled and began her story. "I have one friend, a very talented singer. When she sings, everything around her seems to freeze, to enjoy the beauty of her voice. She could have become a star, and was already on her way to achieving that. She gave successful performances. She was invited to concerts and festivals that opened up great prospects. But everyone around her told her one and the same thing. You are already 25. It's time to think about marriage, about children. Otherwise, it will be too late. She was told this at home, at work, on vacation. And so, this girl succumbed to the pressure of her mother, relatives, colleagues and friends, and found a husband. The narrator paused and continued, a little saddened. So her singing career came to an end before it began. But why? Another student was genuinely surprised. A statuesque girl with two long braids. Can't you combine family and career? The narrator sighed. Her husband was totally against her performances, she explained. He thought it was too frivolous. He was afraid that other men would stare at his woman. He was jealous, perhaps out of a sense of possessiveness. And she obeyed her husband, settled down, gave birth to three children. And the only time that she ever sang was to sing lullabies for them. It turns out that she was influenced by the power of public opinion. The woman turned to the keeper of the knowledge. If she hadn't listened to others, hadn't got married, would she not have turned away from her path? The student fell silent, looking questioningly at the sage. Yes, Maria, you got the gist, the teacher responded, giving the woman a kind, radiant look. The power of public opinion often draws us in a completely different direction. Not where the soul longs to be, but where the divine power calls us. A lot of people are influenced by the power of public opinion and do not live their own lives. At this moment, a thin man whose head was covered with an orange hood raised his hand. Teacher, can I ask about the choice of profession? He asked. And after he received the approval of the sage, he continued. A friend of mine became a doctor, only because everyone in his family was a doctor. However, he'd dreamed of becoming an actor all his life, and if he'd started studying in this field, he would certainly have revealed his talent. And so, in his medical work, he did not achieve much, and it was like working in a salt mine for him. And another friend studied engineering because his father had dreamed of it, although he himself had wanted to become a writer his whole life. But the public opinion, embodied in his father, convinced him that writing wasn't a serious thing to do, that it wouldn't earn him money. Yes, said the keeper of the knowledge, looking around at the students. Many people live for others, first for their parents, then for their husband, then for their children and grandchildren. They study at university for 5 years to please their parents, then do an unloved job for a lifetime, and get married just because they have to. Does this mean that they have already surrendered to a power, as the prayer says? Asked the blue-eyed woman. The power of public opinion which rules their destiny? Exactly, nodded the sage. And this is just one of the negative powers. There are others, for example. The power of the golden calf. And what kind of power is this? The student asked with lively interest, leaning forward so as not to miss a single word of the teacher. How does it work? Since ancient times, this power has made people spend all their energy, all their time, health, and their entire lives to acquire material goods and earn as much money as possible. In pursuit of the golden calf, people are ready to do what they do not like. They turn away from their path and stop developing spiritually. At that moment, Brother Adam raised his hand again, and it was clear that he was simply bursting with a need to share his story. "I have always had such an example right in front of me, my own elder brother," he said, and a note of sympathy flashed in his voice. "He's been fond of graphics and painting since childhood, and everyone thought that he would become a famous artist since he was literally obsessed with it and was very talented. So he studied to be a painter and began to paint in his studio, but with the money he earned, he could not afford what he wanted, which was to buy an apartment, an expensive car, and so on. A novice artist is always poor, so he gave up on everything and went into sales to build a career as a manager. At first, he still found time to paint as a hobby sometimes, but when he got married and had children, his wife started nagging him that they needed more money, and he found a second job. There was no time left for painting at all. He was constantly living in some kind of crazy race, under terrible pressure, and eventually lost his health and suffered a heart attack. These days, he spends most of the money he earns on medicine." The audience listened attentively to Brother Adam, and when he reached this point, there was almost complete silence in the grotto, which was interrupted only by the measured crackling of the fire. Everyone was silent, digesting the narrative, which hid the story of missed opportunities for development, the story of a broken life. "People waste their health earning money, and then spend the money to restore health. Nervously thinking about the future, they forget about the present. So they do not live in the present, and they do not live for the sake of the future. They live as if they will never die, and when they die, they realize that they have never lived." "He delivered himself up to the power that rules his destiny," Brother Adam quietly repeated, paraphrasing the first line of the prayer. "But this power took everything away. Therefore, we should all try to prevent these negative forces from having power over us," said the Keeper of the Knowledge. "But can that be done?" the young disciple exclaimed, looking inquisitively into the sage's eyes. "To do this, we must open ourselves more to the divine power and give ourselves to God," he explained with majestic calmness. "Then the divine power will be able to guide us more. If we listen more to other powers that pull us in different directions, then we will not be able to be open to the divine power." "And what other negative powers are there, teacher?" Maria asked. "You said something about laziness." "Laziness, or the power of tamas. Inertia, or, if you will, gravity." "Gravity?" The woman was surprised. "You mean that the force of gravity and laziness have a similar nature? So that is why, when I'm lazy, it's like I'm being attracted to the sofa, closer to the ground?" "I have a friend who has lived like this all his life," commented the red-haired, freckled guy. "He just eats and sleeps. He forces himself to go to work. And there he does nothing but complain that he is not appreciated enough. He won't even lift a finger unless ordered to do something. He doesn't want anything. He's not interested in anything. Neither sports, nor art, nor work. You can't persuade him to go out for a run. Even getting him to go to the country requires a huge effort." "When people completely surrender to this power, they live their lives like this," said the sage, "lying in front of the TV and doing nothing, just thinking about food, sex, and other pleasures. But how can we resist it? We must constantly keep in mind the hostile powers, the power of inertia, the power of the golden calf, and the power of public opinion. We must learn to be able to see them enter into us and begin to act. Only by realizing this will we be able to prevent them from influencing us. And seeing this, we will be able to open up more to the divine power, and tune in to sublime emotions and thoughts. Then, the divine will act through us, enabling us to receive real goodness in our lives. We should try to open our hearts to God and cultivate sublime emotions to the highest degree. All evil should be blocked by the influence of the divine power, which cuts off negative influences from us. The teacher finished, and once again looked around at all of his students with an attentive gaze. From his eyes flowed the all-pervading unconditional love that he gave to others. At this moment, the faces of the students lit up from within. It seemed that it was this light that gave energy for a deep understanding of all that had been said. Students of different ages gathered around the teacher. Several young men and girls, people in their 40s, with traces of life experiences on their faces, and even an elderly, thin old woman with gray hair that was pulled into a bun. Her face was wrinkled, but her gaze retained amazing clarity and insight. They were all trying to grasp the truth, and the teacher saw that, rejoicing that his words awakened the most sublime emotions in his students. He was silent for a few seconds, glancing into the distance where the picturesque rocks and mountains spread out, their peaks frozen in mysterious silence, shrouded in a lilac twilight haze. The students waited patiently for the teacher to continue. "I am holding on to nothing, and I have nothing left to protect," he finally said, reciting the second line of the prayer. How should this correctly be understood? We should not cling to our identities. A person usually holds on to them tightly and begins to protect them. He protects his laziness, negative emotions, resentment, envy, and other negative qualities. The person always wants to justify them in every possible way, and therefore they begin to control him and eventually devour him. The sage spoke smoothly and steadily, and his every word was surprisingly succinct and accurately described the knowledge. When the teacher paused, his gaze fell on Maria, the student who had spoken about her friend who had followed public opinion and chose her husband instead of developing her talent as a singer. "Maria, do you want to say something?" "Yes, teacher. Just now, when you were talking, I again remembered my friend, how she tried to protect her identities. I told her many times, 'All is not lost yet. You still have your voice. Why don't you start singing again?' And to this she always answered me with a sigh, followed by, 'I will never become a singer again, but I have a husband and children.' But this is not the limit of one's ambitions," exclaimed a young blonde girl, who had been closely following the conversation all this time. "I told her the same thing," Maria replied contritely. "But she would always argue that a husband and children were much more important than any such nonsense and fruitless dreams, and it was impossible to prove anything otherwise to her. It was as if she was blind, as if she didn't see that her husband was a jealous tyrant, that he wouldn't let her take a step without him knowing." "My brother never wanted to admit that he was wrong, too," Adam joined the conversation. "Even when he had already ruined his health, he kept saying, 'I'm doing everything right. I'm a realist. I need to provide for my family.' Yes. And it is the same with my friend who is under the power of inertia and laziness," the red-haired guy added. "He's never admitted that he doesn't live right. All I heard from him was, 'Leave me alone. It works for me. I don't mind.' He can't even understand that his mind is clouded, that his life is passing while he is stuck in this swamp of laziness." "And a person also protects his negative emotions," said the teacher. "When he is angry with someone or offended, He will never admit his guilt. He only says, "It's someone else's fault, not mine." "That's right, just like my friend's husband," Maria exclaimed. She paused as if considering whether to tell further and share unpleasant details, but after a short pause she continued. "He eventually started drinking and beating her, justifying that by saying that it was her own fault, and it was her behavior that made him do it. I've always resented it." Yes, people who are under the influence of negative powers always protect their identities, said the Keeper of the Knowledge. Every terrible tyrant and hardened criminal, each of them will have 1,000 reasons and excuses for their own anger. And this destroys not only the lives of others, but also their own lives. To prevent this from happening, one needs to get rid of these influences, these negative qualities, for one should not hold on to them. Only then will they stop devouring a person from within and destroying his life. That's why, in the prayer, we say, "I am holding on to nothing, and I have nothing left to protect." It means that we must stop making excuses, holding on to identification with negative powers, and we must stop protecting them. Understanding flashed in the eyes of the students. It was clear that right now, by coming into contact with the energy and power of the teacher, they got the opportunity to see a very clear picture of the universe and their place in it. "I have no thoughts, therefore I will see," the Keeper of the Knowledge continued, voicing the next line of the prayer. "As long as we have thoughts, we only see them and do not see reality. We only see what our mind tells us, and the mind says things that are far from reality. It can see, for example, a snake instead of a rope, imagine things or something else like that. Or, for example, gloss things over, seeing the world through rose-colored glasses, or conversely, making everything dark. It all depends on the emotion. If there is a negative emotion, everything is seen blackened, and if there is some positive emotion, then everything is rose-tinted." Maria raised her hand again, saying, "When my friend got married, she saw her future family through rose-colored glasses. Although her partner had shown tyrannical habits even before marriage, she wouldn't acknowledge it. And then it got worse and worse. He started drinking, but she would always wave it off, saying, 'So what? Everyone drinks nowadays. It's better to have a drinking husband than no husband at all. If I'm left alone with the children, what will I do?'" "Of course," another student said with bitter irony, "because public opinion tells us the main thing is to get married. Then you'll be endlessly happy." "Exactly," Maria smiled sadly. "And they lived happily ever after. We all grew up on these fairy tales, but nowhere has it ever been said what happens to a princess after marriage when a handsome prince suddenly turns into a terrible monster. So this friend of mine still lives wearing her rose-colored glasses, and I am desperate to find a way to help her." "Sometimes it can be different," Adam said. "When a person seems to be doing well, he has a house, food, and health. Yet he sinks into a depression, or he torments himself with envious thoughts, such as, 'Ah, the grass on the neighbor's lawn is greener, and his children are smarter, and his wife is more beautiful.'" A young curly-haired woman, who was sitting on the left side of the teacher and had been silent until now, suddenly decided to speak. "You know, to be honest, I myself have been depressed for a long time," she confessed quietly, lowering her eyes as if ashamed of her frankness. "I didn't seem to have any reason for this, but it seemed to me all the time that I was missing something, and it weighed on my mind. I couldn't just enjoy life. I couldn't relax and enjoy nature, a beautiful day, or communication with my loved ones. I constantly compared myself with others, envying those who had something better than me. Now I understand that these are just negative thoughts that had nothing to do with reality. I saw everything blackened. You know, when I broke up with my boyfriend, it seemed to me that this was the end, another girl chimed in. I even wanted to take an overdose. Then I was ruled by thoughts and emotions that prevented me from seeing reality. I mean, the fact that nothing terrible had actually happened, you know. But at that time, it was so difficult to see and understand it. Our mind does not see things objectively, only through the prisms of its emotional reactions, the keeper of the knowledge commented. When we have no thoughts, when we discard them, we begin to see the reality, the way things truly are. So it means that by stopping our flow of thoughts and eternal internal dialogue, we will be able to look at things objectively? One of the students asked. Yes, Martha, you got it right, the teacher nodded, confirming her words. Therefore, we must try to come to a state of silence in which we will see things the way they are. This is why we meditate, work with breathing, and do conscious practices that help us stop the internal dialogue. Teacher, tell us, what is the easiest practice to stop it? The thin man asked a question. Take a watch that has a second hand, the keeper of the knowledge replied, and focus on its movement without being distracted by anything else. How long will you be able to watch it so that no extraneous thoughts appear in your head? 15 seconds? 30? A minute? Try doing this and you will realize how hard it is to stop the mental flow. But by practicing this way, you can learn to see everything as it truly is. And if we get distracted by thoughts, what should we do? You have to keep track of that and maintain your awareness. You must understand it in this way. A thought has appeared, so now I see everything again in the old way, subjectively. We identify with a thought that has come and believe that this is the truth. And then another thought comes to our mind. We identify with it. And now we see and evaluate things in the opposite way. Therefore, it is necessary to be in a state of silence, thoughtlessness, as often as possible, and look at the world remaining in this state. Then we will see ourselves and everything around us in a more realistic light. Thank you for the explanation, teacher, Martha said with sincere gratitude. Her face was very spiritual, shining with the joy of realizing the truth. I have heard and repeated this prayer many times, intuitively guessing its meaning, but now, your words seem to have lifted an invisible veil, and all the fragments of the knowledge have combined into a complete picture. The teacher smiled in response to the woman's words, sending her the energy of kindness and love. At this time, the other students nodded animatedly, showing their agreement with the words in every way. I have no fear, therefore I will remember myself, the sage spoke again, continuing to interpret the words of the prayer. As long as we have fear, we cannot remember ourselves, for we are constantly fussing and worrying. We perceive ourselves as an intimidated person who can be threatened by something. Therefore, we do not really see ourselves and do not remember that we are the divine spark, which is in our physical shell in the body. Teacher, what does it mean? Maria asked. We do not remember ourselves. Should this be understood in a literal or figurative sense? For example, when a person experiences a strong fear for himself or his future, in this state, he can harm another person or even commit murder, the keeper of the knowledge explained patiently and calmly, because he does not remember himself, does not remember that we are all one with God. Oh, I have an example that seems just right, the girl with the blonde braids perked up. I have a friend who was so afraid that her boyfriend would leave her for her pretty neighbor that she started threatening to pour acid on her and demanded that the neighbor move out of her own apartment. There are many such examples, said the keeper of the knowledge. For example, people are afraid of their reputation and start lying, playing coy, or even framing others. Or, not remembering himself, a person is ready to throw himself out of the window, fearing that something bad will be found out about him. In fear of losing money, a person can commit murder. Fear always comes from the ego. We are always afraid of losing something. Material values, the love of another person, a good attitude or reputation. If we remembered that we are a part of God, then we would not be afraid of anything. Like Christ, who was not afraid to be crucified and lose his life. Why is that? Adam was surprised. Because it is impossible to take something away from God. And if you are a part of him, then how can you lose something? If we remember ourselves, we will begin to develop. With the help of different situations, we have to wake up and overcome the influence of the body and false personality. The sage paused again for a moment, and a truly amazing atmosphere was created around the fire, which was felt by all those present. The conversation was like a sacrament, during which the secrets of the universe were revealed. The fire crackled comfortably, preventing the darkness from completely capturing the mountain valley. In detachment from the world, having found a soul, I am free. The words of the final line of the prayer sounded from the lips of the keeper of the knowledge, majestically and solemnly, literally sending shivers to all those whose ears listened. A dozen inspired eyes turned back to him. I will find my soul when I renounce the world, he explained. Now a person has not yet found a soul because it is tormented by larvae, various powers and influences. We are always identified with the world. We chase the golden calf. We strive to meet the expectations of society in order to be like everyone else. We cannot stop playing by these rules. Like my friend, said Maria, who keeps living with her tyrant husband. And like my brother, who has always been trying to make more money, Adam chimed in. Yes, the teacher nodded, confirming the truth. There are many such examples. They surround us throughout the history of mankind. For example, how many kings, in pursuit of material goods and power, started pointless wars, falling under the influence of demons? There is even such a phrase that states, kill one person and you will become a murderer. Kill millions and you will become a conqueror. Kill everyone and you will become a god, said one of the students. That's right. Each of the conquerors sought to exalt himself and his military exploits, and only a few of them, by the end of their lives, understood the meaninglessness of this fuss and the race for gold and wealth. For example, Alexander the Great, having conquered half the world, asked on his deathbed to be buried on a shield, with his empty hands spread out in different directions to show that he could not take anything with him to the next world. When we detach ourselves from the world and keep our distance from it, that is when we begin to feel that we have found our soul that is owned by us and not by demons, devils, and other dark powers. But how do we feel and understand this? Asked a pretty girl with long blonde hair that cascaded down to her waist. That we have already been freed from the influence of the dark powers. How can we avoid making a mistake? To do this, we need to observe how the dark powers penetrate us in the form of various thoughts and emotions, said the keeper of the knowledge, answering the student's question. How they begin to pull us in different directions, not allowing us to be ourselves, forcing us to carry out some dark plan. Therefore, when we are detached, we gain a soul. We own our soul. If we are identified with everything, with any thought, with any emotion that comes to us, then all this owns our soul, but we do not own our soul. We have to cut off all these influences, and when we make a gap between us and these negative powers, then there is freedom for our soul, and we begin to feel that we are our true selves. And as long as there is no such gap, as long as we are identified with everything that happens, we do not feel our soul. We only see identification. One thing, then another, then yet another. But we do not see ourselves. It is as if we do not exist. But there is a momentary situation, momentary identification, momentary thoughts and emotions. And we as a soul do not exist at this moment. If we let go and make a gap, if we see everything from the outside, then we find ourselves. These negative influences can no longer tear us apart in different directions, and we become whole. And then we find ourselves, our soul and true freedom. When the sage finished his explanation, there were bright tears of realization in the eyes of some of the students. Such a reaction indicated that they had poured themselves through the teacher's words. These words were important to them, and they hit the very center of the soul. They had recited this prayer so many times, but only now had they reached a level of deep understanding and extraordinary clarity. Before moving on to another topic, the sage recited the prayer once again, and he was echoed by a harmonious hum of voices. I have surrendered to the power that rules my destiny. I am holding on to nothing, and I have nothing left to protect. I have no thoughts, therefore I will see. I have no fear, therefore I will remember myself. In detachment from the world, having found a soul, I am free.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.